So if you would, take your Bibles and turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about a series called Running Well and Finishing Strong. The first Sunday we talked about this, we mentioned how important it is that we decide right from the start to have a strong determination to run well and finish the entire race strong. Last week, we began looking at this passage in Hebrews 12:1, and it talked about the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. And I mentioned to you how that refers back to Hebrews 11, and all of those believers who have gone before us, who have run the race, who finished strong despite persecutions and hardships and many trials, and how we have a great heritage to live up to. We have a great legacy to pass on. The torch has been passed from those saints to you and me, and now we are in the race. We're running for Christ. And I mentioned to you how important it is that we realize that we're not running this alone. We have those who have gone before, who've endured much worse things than you and I have ever endured, and yet they've stayed the course and they've finished the race. And they have passed it on to us now, and we have a great responsibility, a huge responsibility, to carry this torch and to run faithfully for Jesus Christ, not to lay it down along the way. So today we come to the next portion of verse 1 in Hebrews 12. Let me just read this whole verse for you again. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders." Yours may say, "Let us lay aside every weight." It's exactly the same thing I'll show you in just a moment. "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance," or patience, "the race marked out for us." What I want to focus on this morning is that middle section of verse 1, and then God willing, we'll get to the last section next week, where it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Someone once said, "You cannot follow God and stay where you are at the same time." You know, the truth is, whenever God calls you to obey Him and to follow Him, there is often something or someone that must be left behind. The call of God on our life to run this race and to follow Him seldom comes without requiring us to lay something aside, to lay something down. I remember, through my childhood, growing up on the mission field, the times that we would come home to the States on furlough, which wasn't very often, but when we did get to come home, we'd spend a few weeks here visiting, grandparents and cousins and relatives and friends. And I remember so well the times when the day came for us to get back on the plane and to fly back over to the mission field, and how difficult it was to say goodbye to our loved ones here in America. And I remember watching my parents as they shed many tears at the airport every time this happened, as we would have to say goodbye and go back overseas. But you know, the interesting thing is, those were bittersweet tears, because even though it was very difficult to leave loved ones behind in order to run the race God had set before our family, we had great joy in doing that, in running that race. But it spoke to me, even as a young boy, that if we are going to follow Christ, if you and I are going to run the race that is set before us, there are going to be things that we have to lay aside. Now, I've always heard this preached in a negative sense, laying aside bad things. And that's true. We're going to talk about some of that. But you know, the truth is, folks, There are times in the Christian life when God asks us to lay aside things that there's nothing in the world wrong with, because He wants us to follow Him and run our race. I remember also when God called our family to go to Georgia for a while and help plant that church down there. For me, it wasn't that big of a deal to go somewhere else because I've traveled my entire life. But Sandy was born and raised in Greenville. She's lived here her whole life. Her roots are very deep here. And for her to have to leave Greenville to move somewhere else was a huge thing for her. And I remember watching her work through that whole process in her own life with God. And I still remember the day, I remember exactly where we were when she turned to me and said, "Phil, I'm ready to go." She had reached a point where she had said to the Lord, "Lord, this is a huge struggle for me to lay this thing aside in order to run the race You've put before me. But I've reached a point where I'm absolutely willing to do that. I'm willing to lay this aside so that there will be nothing weighing me down, holding me back from running the race that You've marked out for me." The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders in order that we may run the race." You know, it's interesting, you watch athletes who are focused on winning their event, whatever that event is. These athletes are willing to endure anything in order to win the prize. I mean, they discipline themselves. They wake up hours before any of their friends do in order that they can go to the track or whatever and run and practice. They go on special diets so that they can get their body weight down to exactly where it needs to be, not 1 pound over. While all of their friends are out having a good time and painting the town, guess where they are? They're training. They're training. And they're willing to lay aside anything that will hinder them from running their race and winning the prize. It's amazing to me that athletes will go through such unbelievable self-discipline, such training, that they'll put aside foods, they'll put aside time, they'll put aside friends, anything in order to win a little trophy that is going to rot someday. The Apostle Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read this for you, starting in verse 24. We touched on this verse 2 weeks ago, and we're going to mention it one more time in this series. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize," he says. And then he says, "Everyone who competes in the games," he's talking about the Olympic Games back then, have been around for a long time. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last." Back in those days, if you won your event in the Olympics, you got, guess what? A little wreath made out of leaves that you wore on your head. Yeah, I can see months of training for that. That would be a great prize. But of course, they had the bragging rights and everything that went with that, you know, all the notoriety. But Paul's saying, these people go into strict training so they can win this little leaf laurel thing that they put on their head, and in a month or two, it's all withered, it's brown, it's faded, and it's falling apart. And what he's saying is, if they're willing to do that in order to win a prize that will fade, listen to what he says. "We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore," remember, there's that word again, "in light of these things, because of what I've just said, I do not run like a man running aimlessly." There was an old Monty Python sketch years ago. I'm not really recommending the show all that much. Some of it's good, some of it's not. But you saw these runners, these people that look like professional athletes, coming up to the starting line in their shorts and the, you know, all the right equipment, and they got down in the starting blocks, and the starter's pistol sounded, and every person in the race ran off in a different direction, just running aimlessly, you know, typical Monty Python humor. And that's what he's saying here. I'm not running like a man just running aimlessly. I'm running with a purpose in mind. He says, I do not fight like a man beating the air. I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, folks, listen, if athletes are willing to endure such rigorous training, such incredible self-discipline, if they're willing to lay aside so many things in their life that will hinder them from winning the prize, and they're willing to do all that for this little thing that's going to fade and wither, how much more should you and I, as followers of Christ, be willing to discipline ourselves, to lay aside anything that will hinder us from running this race well? Because, you see, he reminds us that we're not running for something that's going to perish and fade. We're running for an eternal prize. Notice he says, let us throw off everything that hinders. As I mentioned, yours may have the word weight in there. They're actually both correct. The Greek word there is the word ogkos. It's O-G-K-O-S. And what it literally means is hindrance or encumbrance or burden. That's what that word means. He's saying, don't be weighed down as you run this race. Now, the mental imagery that he's using here is something that you and I have seen even today, and this is thousands of years ago that he's writing. How many times have you seen athletes training with weights on? I saw it not too long ago, a football player running the length of the football field, and he had this belt tied around his waist with maybe a 20 or 30 foot cable or something behind him, and there was this little sled thing where they had put weights on. And he was running the entire length of that football field, pulling that weighted sled behind him. They even sell these little sleeveless jackets that look kind of like a bulletproof vest, but they're weighted jackets. And runners buy these things, and they put them on in training, and they zip them up, and they run their race with 15 or 20 extra pounds on them. Why? So that when they get to the starting blocks on race day, they can take that weight off and they can lay it aside, and when that starter's pistol sounds, bang, they're out of those blocks and they feel like they're flying because they have laid aside the weight. We see this in baseball. When a guy's getting ready to go to bat, he walks up to the on-deck circle, and what does he do? He takes one of those big metal donuts, he slides it down over his bat, he picks it up, maybe they even pick up two or three bats, you've seen them do that, and they take practice swings with that heavy weight on their bat. Why are they doing that? Because if they can swing the bat fast with that weight on it, imagine how fast they can swing when they take it off. You have never in your life seen a baseball player step into the batter's box with that weight on the bat. You never have. They're smart enough to know that they need to lay aside the weights in order that they can run the race, in order that they can compete as strongly as possible. No one would be surprised to see you grow weary in a marathon if you were running the marathon in heavy work boots, blue jeans, a big jacket, carrying a bowling ball and a suitcase and pulling a wagon behind you loaded with sand. No one would be surprised and go, wow, I just don't get it. I don't understand why he got so tired. You know, they'd look at that and go, well, yeah, duh, of course he got tired. He's weighed down with things. Runners strip off all their sweatsuits and all the layers of clothing, and they get down to, you know, really nowadays it is the bare essentials, no pun intended. I mean, they're almost running naked nowadays with the things that they wear. Why do they do that? They do it because of exactly what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. They don't want anything, even the slightest thing, to weigh them down as they run the race. Why then should we be surprised if we grow weary and drop out of the Christian race while we're still holding on to things that we need to let go of? It's the same picture exactly. You know, it's interesting. Some people say they want to follow Christ, but they don't want to let go of the things in their past. They want to follow Christ, but they also want to hold on to other things. Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 16, 24. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must do what, church? He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, there's not a whole lot of self-denial that you see nowadays. Not even in the church. Not a whole lot of self-denial. Jesus is preached so often now as an add-on to your life, as just kind of a bonus package that you can buy to add on and bring some benefit to your life. Well, here's the thing. Jesus is not an add-on to anybody's life. He never has been, and he never will be. Jesus is a total transformation, a total replacement of our old life. At least he ought to be, and that's what he requires of us. When we choose to follow Christ, I'm telling you, church, there will be things that we have to lay aside. There will be things we have to throw off and put down in order to follow him. I love the story in Matthew 4 where Jesus walks up to the shore and he says to the men, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Matthew 4:20 is a remarkable verse. It says, at once they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets and they followed him. I think of the story of Elisha that we talked about a long time ago when Elijah came to him and placed the call of God on his life to follow the path that God had laid out for him. Elisha was out in the field plowing with his oxen, which represented his security, his livelihood. Remember what Elisha did? He chopped up the wooden plow and set fire to it. In a remarkable public statement saying, I am throwing off this thing that could so easily hinder me and call me back to my old life. I'm making a public statement. I'm laying my old life aside, and I'm following the one who has called me. See, those things, those nets, that plow, whatever it happens to be, those represented hindrances in their life. Jesus said, the one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Those things were hindrances in their life that would keep them from following Christ. And I wonder what are some of the hindrances in our life this morning? What are some of the things that weigh us down as we try to run this race and follow Christ? Well, there are many things, and you know, even to name some is almost to do a disservice because, you know, I could stand up here and I could name a list of things to you that perhaps for me God has told me to lay aside. But I don't have any right telling you to lay those things aside. That's legalism. That's wrongful teaching there. I mean, I could get up, you know, like in the olden days, they'd have a list of things. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't. Well, that's one man placing his burdens upon another man. Listen, church, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you just as he lives inside of me, and I don't need to play the Holy Spirit in your life. And I won't do that. And by the way, if I ever forget and slip back into that, I know there's going to be some who come to me after the service before I even make it back to my seat and go, yo, man, what's up with that? You don't need to be doing that. You see, it's so easy. I could so easily stand up here and say, all right, I'm going to give you 12 things that you need to cut out of your life in order to be right with God. That's foolishness. I can't do that for you. But you can ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you bring to my mind something that perhaps you are displeased with in my life? Something that is weighing me down as I try to run this race for Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's something there, He will. And you won't have to go and see a psychiatrist to help you draw it out of your past. You won't have to, you know, you won't have to read 100 books. The Holy Spirit will just prompt you and say, let me tell you what it is. And then, see, He's hit the ball into your court. And it's up to you. So I dare not name specific things and say you need to lay this aside and lay that aside. But in a general sense, to try to help you get a feel for this, you know, there are so many things in life that if we allow them to, will weigh us down, will hinder us from running this race. We've talked about some of these in weeks past. The love of or the worry of the things of this world. I tell you, gang, if you are caught up in a pursuit of and a lust for and a frenzy over the things of this world, your life is going to be filled and weighed down with so many cares and so much worry. It's the same picture Jesus used in Luke 8:14 when He said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. I don't know. There may be some here who struggle in that area of life. You're just drawn like a magnet to pursue the things and the pleasures of this world. And I tell you, folks, they will weigh you down. It's something you need the Holy Spirit's help to say, help me take this thing off and set it aside. For others, oftentimes, it's people who weigh them down and hold them back from following Christ. It's people. And it can be good or bad. Often there are people who will negatively influence your life and keep you from running the race. But listen, often there's nothing wrong with the person or the relationship. It's just that you've chosen to put that person in a higher priority than Jesus Christ, than following Him. And you will sometimes say, Lord, I would serve You, I would obey You and do what You want me to do, but if my kids were just a bit older, then it would be a better time for me to serve You. You see, Lord, I've got this thing with my parents, and it just doesn't seem like a good time in my life, Lord, to follow You right now, but I will one day. You see, what we're doing is we are putting other people before Jesus. Why do you think that Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. You read that and you go, well, that's not right. That seems unfair. That seems unkind of Jesus to say that. In one place, He said, you need to hate your father and mother, hate your brother and sister. He wasn't saying hate them. He was saying the love that you have for Me needs to be so intense, needs to be so supreme that it makes the love you have for others look like hate in comparison. You need to be willing to say goodbye, to lay aside anything or anyone that is going to hinder you from the race. I wonder if there's any person in your life right now who is holding you back from running the race for Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's not worth it. In the end, you will see it was not worth it to choose that person over Jesus. Distractions are another area. Not just the love for the things of this world, not just people, but distractions in this life. If any of you have ever played football or run track or anything like that, a sport where you've had to focus and run, I guarantee you, you've heard your coach say to you, don't look back when you're running. Don't look back. Don't look at the other runners, because if you do, it's going to break your stride, you're going to lose your rhythm, and you're going to lose the race. Look forward. How often in life do we spend so much of our time looking at that person and looking at that person and comparing ourselves to him and to her rather than running the race with focus that Jesus has set before us? Another distraction is your past. So often people come to Christ and they have these very dark pasts. And they fail to understand that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And that he has washed your past completely clean. So often we try to run the Christian life while being weighed down to the guilt of our past. Folks, I don't have time to get into all that this morning, but I want to tell you, if you are in Christ, you can let that go. Because he has let it go. There's nothing in your past that he will ever bring up again to condemn you for. Did you know that, church? I don't know about you, but that ought to be good news for us this morning. That in Christ, there is no condemnation. Our past is gone. And we can focus straight ahead of us on the prize, who is Jesus. And we'll see that in the weeks ahead. Oftentimes, there are simply burdens in our life that we don't need to carry, that weigh us down. Think of the illustration of the man who was standing on the side of the road hitchhiking, and he had on this very, very heavy backpack. And a man in a pickup truck stopped and gave him a ride. He said, well, the front is full, but if you don't mind, just climb over in the back. He climbed over in the back, and they went several miles down the road, and the driver happened to look back and see the man sitting in the pickup truck still wearing his backpack. And he said to him, hey, man, take off your backpack. Lay it on the bed of the truck. And the man said, no, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to be any trouble. Well, you see, so many Christians go through life like that. Christ has made them new. He's given them a ride, if you will, and yet they're still going through their Christian life saying, no, Lord, I'll carry this burden. I don't want to bother you with it. So often we carry burdens, we worry about things, we try to fix situations or other people when we just need to let go of it and let God do his work in that situation. Quit meddling with it. And cast your cares upon him. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I wonder if there's any burden this morning that you're carrying through life that is weighing you down, as the writer of Hebrews said, and you need to just let go of it. You need to say, God, I'm going to stop trying to fix this. I'm going to stop trying to fix this person or this situation. I'm taking it off so that I can run without that burden. He also says not only to lay aside every weight or to throw off everything that hinders, but he also says we need to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. I don't have to tell you that we don't have to go out looking for temptation and sin. It comes looking for us. Every day of our lives, around every corner, it is lurking and it is waiting to pounce on us. How easily we can become entangled. You know, I don't have time to get into this morning. There's been much debate over what the writer of Hebrews really meant here when he said, the sin that so easily entangles. Some have gone to great lengths trying to identify what that sin is. You know, I'll tell you what, I think for every believer I've ever met anyway and talked to at any depth at all, if that person is honest, they would say to you, you know, there's one thing in my life that just seems to be a constant plague for me. Just that one thing. And you know what it is. And I know what it is. There are some sins, I'll tell you, I just, at least up to this point in my life, I certainly am not speaking out of pride because that's where Satan will nail me tomorrow. But you know, I've never been tempted to rob a bank. I've never been tempted to go out and get drunk. There are some things that just for me, I look at it and I go, well, that's just stupid. Why would you do that? But for other people, that's a struggle. I have my struggles. What are yours, Christian friend? What is that sin in your life that so, you hear the word, so easily entangled, so easily. You don't have to wake up in the morning and make a plan to say, today I'm going to fall into that sin, man. I'm going to get tempted. I'm going to choose to do wrong. We don't ever have to do that. It so easily entangles us. It's like trying to run a race with a net around you. I mean, you just can't do it. You can't move when you've got one of those big nets on you. You know, like we used to play at some youth games when I was a kid. I remember they did this one thing with a net to illustrate this. Get inside this big net and then try to run across the room. Well, you break your face, you know, is what you do because you can't move in the thing. Sin so easily entangles us. We need to put those things off. You know, there's a balance in the Christian life, friends, where God does His part through us, and we're responsible for part of this deal ourselves. And frankly, I don't know that I could stand up here and preach a sermon on exactly where that line is between the two. There are some who preach, well, we don't need to do anything in the Christian life. We just kick back and relax, and the Holy Spirit will do everything through us. Really? Well, that's interesting. Well, all of the spiritual power that flows through our life comes from Him, not from you and me. But there are, I mean, you just read Paul's letters alone, and again and again and again in his letters, he's giving these believers things to do, things to work on. Here's one example, Colossians 3. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now listen to this, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He's telling them, put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must, here it is again, rid yourselves of all such things as these. Very simply, what he's saying is, if you're born again, if you're running the Christian race, and you are weighed down by these things, oh, you're still running the race, but you're never going to run at your full potential for Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. I don't want anybody to misunderstand this as I close. This is not about giving up things in order to make Jesus love us more. Okay? Are we all on the same page? I've preached so many times about this. This is not about making sacrifices so that God will be more pleased with us. We understand that God loves you as much as He can love you, and He can't love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more than He does today. You say, well, wow, what about that thing I did last night? He loves you. He loves you. His love for you is infinite. It is complete. Matthew said He showed us the full extent of His love. How much more can he show us than what he's already done by sending his son? You see, I'd give my life for some people, but I wouldn't give my son's life for anybody. Nobody. And yet God gave his son's life to say to you, I love you more than you can ever imagine. So let's not leave here with a list of things to work on and say, well, Phil told us that if I give up this and I sacrifice that, then God's really going to love me. No, that's not what Phil said. And if that's what you leave with today, then I have completely failed in what I've been trying to say. So what's the point? I mean, you know, if that's how life worked, then I would probably be sitting in a monastery somewhere this morning, because I could say, well, I could give up all the pleasures of life. I could give up my freedom. I could take a vow of silence. I could take a vow of poverty. I could live in a monastery. And by doing all those things and giving up all those things, boy, God's really pleased with me. No, he's not. So what's the point of saying we need to lay certain things aside? Here it is. It's a simple matter of realizing the importance of this race that we're in for Christ and saying, Father, I don't want there to be anything in my life that hinders me from running well and finishing strong. Would you show me anything in my life that is weighing me down right now and help me lay that aside? I will close with this. Nothing you will ever lay down for Christ will be a loss. Oh, sometimes the sacrifices seem great, and we think, boy, I couldn't possibly put that aside in order to follow Christ. I couldn't possibly do it. I want to tell you, church, nothing that you lay down for Christ will be a loss. So I wonder this morning, if the Holy Spirit has brought anything to your mind today that is causing you to be spiritually unfit and out of shape and spiritually flabby, if there's anything that is weighing you down that you need to let go of, I pray you'll take some time this morning and throughout this week to let God speak to your heart and work that through in your life. Let us lay aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Let's pray. I pray, Father, there would be nothing in my life, that there would be nothing in anybody's life here that would be a hindrance to us running the race for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.